Tonight, the teaching I'm going to share on is the problem of death, and how will you resolve it? Which, to a lot of people, anybody that's outside this fellowship, there is no problem with death. But I'm going to go over some things, and what we're going to do is we're going to act like maybe somebody just died within our group, and we're going to go to their church. And at this funeral, here's the scriptures we're going to read. We're not going to speak. Somebody died prematurely. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. So that Tim gets asked to come to a church. And so, here's a funeral. It's a full house. And Tim goes, I'm only going to read scriptures on what topic?
Death.
Okay.
Verse what?
This page 36. This can be chapter 3. So if we're going to be teaching anybody about death, we should probably go to the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. If anybody wanted to know about a constitution, if they really wanted to know, they're going to go back to the Bill of Rights and the founders. What is the purpose of this? Oh, okay. So if we were going to teach about death, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 19. Tim, would you read that, please?
Yeah, I will. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to the ground, because therefrom wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
You read that at a eulogy, that would not be read today. They might mention a little bit. We turn to Psalms chapter 6. So there's Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden. What were they told about death?
Going back to the dirt.
You're going to turn back into dust. Which, to people who are not religious, you ask somebody, say, hey, where's Abraham Lincoln right now? Let's go dig up his coffin. Where is he? Man, he's pretty light. We'll go dig up one of the pharaohs. There's nothing left. He's like a rice cake. Where did he go? Well, he talked to a scientist. Well, he's decomposed. He's gone back to carbon. Okay. Was that your plug? You just plugged in with your new words? I've been trying to get myself. But anyways, you say, yeah, you went back to dust. Okay, that's not news. Okay, so what happens when we die? You turn back to dust. It says in Genesis, well, maybe that's just one scripture. Psalm 6, and the neat thing about this is the number 6 is the number of man and of beasts. 666, these other ones. And if you ever want to know, was somebody's salvation by grace, well, then I should just do whatever I want since I have salvation by grace. Go to Romans 6. It's going to explain the problem of this. So the number 6 is an easy way to remember this. The Romans 6, verse 5. Mel, why don't you read this? This is King David. I think it's King David.
Do you say
Psalm 6?
Psalm 6, 531.
Is Psalm 6, verse 5?
Yeah.
Alright. Now?
Yeah, so this is King David. So here's Yahweh through King David. What did King David believe in death? Go ahead.
For in death is no remembrance of thee. In Hades who shall give thanks unto thee? I am weary.
That's good right there. For in death, so here's King David saying, when I die, I'm not going to remember. There's no remembrance of you, Yahweh. And King David's singing a song to Yahweh, and Yahweh's inspiring him, going, if I die, how do I benefit you? If I have a premature death, I'm not going to be working for you, Yahweh. And here's his heart, and with these songs, with David pouring out his heart, sometimes it can start off and look so bleak, but they always turn back. It's beautiful. But he goes, in Sheol, or the grave, it's not even the grave, it's Sheol, and it says Hades here, unto who will give you thanks? So when you die, are we giving thanks to Yahweh? That's what King David believed. Okay? So right now, we've just read those two scriptures at a eulogy. How do you think everybody at this funeral is feeling so far? Psalms chapter 30 is page 542. 542, Psalms 30. Okay, somebody read that for me?
Which?
Verse 9.
What profiteth in my blood, in my going down into the pit? Can dust praise thee? Can it declare thy faithfulness?
When I turn into dust, how do I profit you, Yahweh? Can I praise you? And David's saying, when I die, it's over. I'm dust. So when we, what did the King David believe? What did Adam and Eve, what were they taught by Yahweh? When you die, what happens? Dust. Now to us, this isn't anything new. But we're not the majority, are we? Actually, reading these scriptures, anybody who's watching who's not used to advanced teaching is going to be going this right now. What do you, you're in a cult. Because if anybody doesn't believe what the masses believe, you're in a cult. That's usually what they're going to do. So they did it to Jesus Christ. What is this new sect? What do you mean a new sect? Jesus Christ didn't pray. Anyways, then we turn to Psalms 90, verse 3, page 577.
Thank you for calling out the pages, because this electronic version of the Rotherham is awesome.
Oh, has it got it?
Yeah, I love it. Well, it shows you the page numbers right on the side, so.
Psalm 90 what?
90 verse 3. Wendy, would you read?
Yeah, just one sec. 90, what page? I'm sorry.
577.
Thou causest man to return unto dust, and hast said, return, ye sons of Adam.
Yeah, I'll keep reading. For a thousand years not eyes are as yesterday, in that it passed away, or, I'm watching the night, thou hast snatched them away. Asleep do they become. In the morning they are like grass that shooteth up. In the morning it sprouteth and shooteth up. By the evening it is cut down and withered. When you read those scriptures, is there a problem with death? Yes. There's a big problem with death. Are any of you comforted if we read those at it and somebody died? No. Those aren't read at today's funerals on teaching about death. And if we did read those, if we started saying, let's just talk about the death, and if we said the problem with death, to most people, they don't have a problem with death, and we'll come back to it. But if we read the scriptures, is there a problem with death? Absolutely there's a problem with death. And what has Yahweh taught David, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the prophets about death? You're going back to dirt. That's depressing. It should be. And Adam and Eve didn't want to believe in it either. It didn't depress them. They didn't believe it. They're what you call a denialist. And today, we still have denialists who do not believe in death. And I'll get to that. So I hope that should be a hanger. I'm trying to pause for emphasis. So as we look at this, we'd say if we're reading these scriptures, if we read those scriptures there, would that be a good way to leave the audience after reading that?
No.
Do they have any hope?
No.
Okay, so the people before Christ, all the people, Jeremiah, David, Adam, Eve, Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, what scripture would they would have done about death? They would have read those scriptures and they go, what hope would they have had? Well, what did the teacher teach us about hope? Now, like even the guy that I'm mentoring who doesn't read his Bible, I'm going to, if you come to the teacher for help because you really want to pass this class but you never read the text, you know what the teacher's going to do eventually? Next. I'm not wasting my time. We got to do the same thing with Jesus Christ. I'm going to go over, but in his case, he says he wants me to mentor him, but he won't even open his book. And he goes, you'd rather read devotionals. I go, hey, devotionals is not the word. Usually devotionals are going to tell you what you want to hear. But if we wanted to close a eulogy, or how do we give them hope?
Thessalonians.
We don't have Thessalonians.
Oh. Sorry.
For who?
If you wanted to give hope, you're teaching on death, and here's the Hebrew scriptures, how would you give them hope? We go back to Genesis chapter 3. Because even before Yahweh told them about this depressing consequence of who? Adam and Eve. Adam knew what he was doing. Eve was completely deceived. But before Yahweh even told them about 3:19, he told them in 3:15 the solutions, the first prophecy in the Bible. So all of those scriptures should point back to this scripture. Well, why would he teach us that we should become dust and there's no remembrance? I thought we were in a better place or something, right? That makes me feel good, right? No, Yahweh already gave us his scripture with all that, because that's hopeless just reading those things about death, right? if you don't read the beginning, right? What's it say in 3:15? The very first prophecy, Melania.
And enmity will I put between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall crush thy heel, but thou shalt crush his... He shall crush thy head, but thou shalt crush his heel.
So the whole... For real Hebrews, and then we got to read through the scriptures, the people that are real Hebrews, there are a lot of people that thought they were Hebrews, but they killed the prophets. The hope was the second Adam's coming. First Adam blew it. Why do we have death? Why do we have this horrible thing? Adam and Eve sold us into slavery. There's a scripture. Somebody's coming to fix all of this. And that's why when Nathan told David, the son's going to come through you, that David fell down and said, who am I? Who am I? Because the promised seed that was going to fix all this. So when man would look at all this and look at all these things dying and horrible things, you don't have to... there's some things that you don't have to teach, that they're innate. You don't have to teach humans that death, there's a problem with death.
Yeah.
Here's an example. You can go to any continent in the world and everybody's made up something about death not being the end, with few exceptions. You can go to any indigenous tribe off in Indonesia, then you go to the Samoan, South America, North America, the Inuits, whatever, and you say, what happens when you get death? They've come up with a solution to this problem. Man will come up with a solution because they know there's a problem. The problem is man has come up with solutions. I'm going to come back to something. Now turn to John chapter 4. So what was supposed to be the hope of all this death with the promised seed, who's going to be the Mashiach, the Messiah. John chapter 4, that's page 95 in the Greek. So if you read those things, they go, hey, I thought, she's in a better place. You go, say chapter and verse. Well, what do you mean she's not in a better place? She's going to turn to dust. What? That's depressing. That didn't comfort me. Who can comfort somebody better? Yahweh or you? Now sometimes we're going to feel like we need to comfort them, but who knows more about life and death than Yahweh? He didn't invent death, he invented life. Death came by Adam and Eve, but he knew the consequences. Adam and Eve blew it, and here it is. Here's the solution, but quit lying to yourself to make yourself think better. It's almost like the lottery that was winning. All these people that the people were mocking was kind of sad on Facebook about these people wishing for this hope. We're going to go, guys, there's people out there that weren't paying their mortgages because they're praying to get a lottery ticket and win it. You're going to go, it's just not happening. But the Hebrews should have been waiting for the Mashiach to solve what? Death. And the neat thing about Dad's, one of his teachings on Telios, I think it's lesson 23, says the book begins with earth, it ends with earth. On earth. The book begins with an Adam, it ends with the second Adam, fixing the mess of the first Adam. Why? So Yahweh can come back to his earth. John chapter 4. And what we'll read right above chapter 4, and you see the letters. It's going to say, the woman of Samaria and the Samaritans. Other people would say the woman at the well would really be the woman at the fountain. What are Samaritans? Samaritans were half Jews. So John Shane, I said, or Glenn said, really short, he's half Jews, right? They were considered half Jews because they weren't full Jews. And there's the history behind it. I heard this one guy, he was doing a teaching. Oh, it was John. It was Andrew Womack. He thought he was close, but he was so off. And then he went up to the woman caught in adultery. Like, you got to do some homework, Andrew. You're good on faith. We got to show you some scriptures. But anyway, the woman at the well, these half-Jews, when Israel was carried away, when I think it was Babylon, or the Assyrians carried them away, like Yahweh told me, if you don't obey me, you're going to be carried away. They had returned other people to put them in the land. And the people that he put in where Israel were the Samaritans. The Samaritans didn't know Yahweh. And Israel's been carried away like Daniel. Here's Babylon, less kind of later on. And while they're in the land, lions start coming in and killing them. And they go, hey, you got to tell us how to worship this God, this Elohim of the land. And so the king sent priests to go teach them about this Hebrew God. And they taught them about Yahweh. So then the Samaritans had Yahweh, then they had their other gods, but they still had Yahweh here. And here we have maybe 1,000 years later, maybe 800 years later, I don't remember what the time is. Here's a Samaritan. She's not a Jew. They're not going to the temple. They're doing other things. Let's see here. Would somebody read, Mom, would you read 1 through 9?
Yeah. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard, Yahushua, more disciples is making and immersing than John, although indeed Yahushua himself was not immersing, but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. Now he must needs pass through Samaria. He cometh therefore unto a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground which Jacob gave unto Joseph his son. Now Jacob's fountain was there. Yahushua, therefore, having become toil-worn with the journey, was sitting thus upon the fountain. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Yahushua saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city, that food they might buy. The Samaritan woman therefore saith unto him, How dost thou, being a Jew, ask to drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. That's added, yeah.
Good.
Yahushua answered and said unto her, If thou hast known the free gift of Yahweh, and who it is that is saying unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked him, and he would have given thee living water.
And so even if you hear Christians teaching about this, this woman was not even really considered a Jew. And the traditions today, they will mock her. They will blaspheme her. You know, the adversary is called a slanderer, right?
Yeah.
And you know what they're going to do? They're going to slander this woman. You know a tree by its fruit, not by what they say. Do the Jews believe that she's even worthy?
No.
Absolutely not. And right here, Yehoshua comes to her. Does Yahweh know this woman's heart?
Yeah.
Man. And Yehoshua's sitting there talking with her, and she's just talking to him. That's got to be neat, because they're just having a conversation. In my imagination, Yehoshua's feeding and taking care of everybody. He's like being a parent. Remember Moses goes, Did I give birth to all these people? You got to be kidding me. That was Moses, and here's Yehoshua working his tail off. They leave, he probably has some peace and quiet, and here he's just having a conversation with this woman. It's probably neat, right? And as they're sitting there talking, he says, Go get your husband. And she goes, I don't have a husband. He goes, You're right. And he said unto her, I'll kind of speed thing. He goes, For five husbands have thou had, and now he whom thou hast is not thy husband. And they go, Aha, see, she's a harlot, an adulterer. My dad's had a client with three widows. Yeah, and then I had a friend whose mom kept marrying they weren't special forces, but they were some sort of army guys. They died a lot. I don't know what they did. She was on her fourth husband, because three of them died. She didn't do anything wrong. It could have been a lifestyle. Did Yahweh say this woman did anything wrong? Yahweh said, when Jesus, so Yahweh and Christ have no problem with pointing out when somebody's in sin. Did Jesus Christ call some people a brood of vipers?
Yep.
Was it this woman?
No.
It was the religious people. Right? You're the brood of vipers. I'm going to go hang out with the Samaritan. Well, that's proof he's not even a Jew. Because here's this whole thing. He's not doing what's popular. But as he tells her this thing, she looks at him, and she falls down to her hands and knees and says, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, or sinful woman. Now, that's what Peter did. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, there is a saying that this person was sweating more than a prostitute in church. If you're doing wicked things, you don't want to be around life. Do you know how I know that? I've been not a prostitute in church, but I've been bad, and I didn't want to be around good people. I wanted to stay away from life. I don't want to go to the Word. I don't want to do those things. I got a vice I don't want to give up. If you're living in wickedness, and you met Yehoshua, and he gave you a prophecy like that, guess what you're going to do? I got to go. I'm so uncomfortable. I'll have that when I meet some people in the gym and I ask them if I could pray. And some of them, they go, absolutely. They'll grab my hands. Some people look at me like I'm crazy. And so I believe maybe they got some skeletons in the closet. What did this woman respond? The woman says, Sir, in verse 19, I perceive that a prophet art thou. What does she say next? Our fathers. In this mountain worship, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where you to worship is to behooveth. She asks a question. You're a prophet. I got a question for you. Who's right? Is it the Jews? Is it us? Is that somebody with a guilty conscience?
No.
Is this somebody looking for answers? Mm-hmm. Wow, I got a prophet. You know, some people, if a prophet came to town, they go, peaceably, did you come? Peaceably, did you? He's not going to come over, is he? I don't want him to see how my house is. I don't want to clean up, put up the beer cans. This woman's going, wow, she had these questions. And then Yehoshua said unto her, you can imagine how much this must have relieved him. In my opinion, Yehoshua said unto her, believe me, woman, there cometh an hour when neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. Did he answer the question? Wasn't important. What do you think the Jews would have said if they were sitting there watching him? They would have tore their, you'll go to a mountain, and they would have came back. But here's Yehoshua, just goes right to you. He starts talking to her about the future. And what she says, you worship that which you know not, we worship that which we know, because salvation is for the Jews. But there cometh an hour, and now is when the real worship shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For even the Father, notice he didn't say worship me, even the Father is seeking such as these as his worshipers. Yahweh is spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and truth must needs worship. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, who is called Christ. Is she excited? What's she looking for? What's she waiting for? She gets excited and going, the Messiah's coming. This is somebody that would have been taught Genesis 3:15, because there's problems everywhere. They're going to go, well, how are we going to resolve this? I got a problem here. How do you understand this? How do you understand this? And we got itching ears everywhere, and the people are going to heap up teachers. They're going to teach them something that's going to itch their ears. And this woman goes, well, who is she looking for? A prophet. Why would you want to go to a prophet? Because a prophet can talk to Yahweh, and Yahweh can tell you what's right. Does she care what people are believing? She wants to know what Yahweh thinks. And just like President Trump, he just learned in 2011, asked a bunch of teachers, ministers to pray to see if he's supposed to run for president. Why would you do that? He wants to know what Yahweh thinks. And here's this woman, and you see a lot of people go, I don't know if he's a Christian. Oh, Bill Clinton's a Christian and Trump's not. But anyways, here this is. And he goes, we know the Messiah is coming, who's called the Christ. Whensoever he shall come, he will tell us everything. Remember that. And Jesus keeps talking to her, and the disciples come up, and there's this conversation. They're confused, and at this time, men weren't supposed to even talk to necessary women. The woman, therefore, and the woman, she gets so excited, she leaves her water vessel, verse 28. She ran away to the men and the people in her town. She says, come and see that told me all the things I did. Now, my dad brought this up once. He goes, if this woman was an adulterer, a liar, a thief, a person with a checkered past, would anybody believe what she just said? No, Sasquatch! Sasquatch! Oh, yeah, right. No, obviously she had credit, because what do they do? She was come and see that told me all the things ever I did. Can this be the Christ? What do these half-Jews do? These people that aren't even Jews? Were they looking for a Christ? Mm-hmm. We'll find out. What did they do next? They came forth out of the city and were coming unto him. In the meantime, the disciples were requesting, Rabbi, eat. And here's all this wonderful things happening. Here's verse 39. We skip on down. So here's this whole town comes out to find out. Why did they come out? Is this the Christ? Is this the Christ? Because if you're not looking for the Christ, who's going to solve all these problems? What about death? How could there be dust? What is this? All the pagan religions got a better thing than us. They believe them. You go up to Mount Olympus. Yeah, that sounds nice, right? Or you go down to Hades. You know, that's what they teach. What do the Hebrews teach? Dust you are, dust you'll become. But there's a seed of the woman's coming. And here comes the Samaritan out to find out, could this be the Christ? Verse 40. When therefore the Samaritans came unto him, they went on to request him to abide with them. They said, would you stay? Remember that. They were looking for the Christ. And they found out that he was the Christ. They said, please stay. And he abode there 2 days, and many more believed by reason of the discourse. And unto the woman began to say, no longer by reason of thy talk do we believe. For we ourselves have heard and know that this one is in truth the Savior of the world.
Praise Yahweh.
Now we're going to look. These were what people would call unbelievers. Today Christians would call Jehovah Witnesses not even Christians. They're not even Christians. They're in a cult, is what they would say. But here's how the unbelievers received Christ. They were looking for the Christ. When they found out that it could be the Christ, they all wanted to go find it. When he backed it up, they said, please stay. Oh, wow. Now turn to Luke chapter 4. page 60, we're going to look at what the religious people, how they treated Christ.
Luke 60?
Chapter Luke 4.
Four.
Page 60. And I got a whole bunch of scriptures here, so I'll try to go over everything if I can, but I'm not going too long. Here's Yehoshua goes to his own town. You can read right above verse 16, chapter 4, verse 16. What does it say right above verse 16?
And he began teaching.
Yehoshua.
Jesus and Nazareth rejected.
Rejected. What did Samaria do? The woman at the fountain, what did they do?
They didn't just accept him.
They accepted him. They got excited and they didn't want him to leave. Yehoshua is going to go to Nazareth, his hometown, and they're going to reject him. Not only are they going to reject him, and you can see at the bottom of verse 22, he stood up and he reads the prophet of Isaiah, today this thing's fulfilled. You can imagine, he only said what his father tells him to say. He only did what his father told him to do. And Yahweh told him to pick a fight right then and there. Because when he sat down, verse 20, folding up the scroll, he handed it to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were intently fixed upon him. And you know what they're going to do to him? They're going to kill him. He's going, Daddy, are you sure you want me to... Have you ever been asked to do something that you might get killed? I knew about a Muslim who was in Egypt. And he wasn't necessarily a Muslim, but he was watching. His buddy was a Christian. And the wicked things they were doing. So in order to get the Muslims' attention, he wore shoes on into the mosque. And he walked right in there. And he goes, if you walk in with your shoes on, they're going to kill you. But he goes, well, we want to keep our shoes on so we can run out. That guy's the real deal. And he was going to die for his cause. Now, that's not necessarily what Yahweh was telling him to do, but Yahweh was telling him to do something like that. And the people in his hometown are going to kill him. Verse 22, after he does all this, do you see where it says, is not? First thing they said, is not this the son of Joseph? Were these people looking for the Messiah?
Yep.
If they were looking for the Messiah, they would have been like the Samaritan. We got questions for you. Well, we were supposed to worship over here. We're supposed to worship up here. Some people, we got Sadducees here. They don't believe in a resurrection. We got Pharisees here. Hey, everybody, one at a time. Now, what are they doing? They're not looking for Messiah. And guess what they don't want? They don't want a Messiah. And if you keep scrolling on, what's going to happen to him? In verse 27, Yehoshua goes back. Yahweh goes on and say, he kind of ups the ante. And he says, many lepers were in Israel, verse 27, in the time of Elijah the prophet, and not one of them was cleansed, save Naaman the Syrian. Pardon me. And they were all filled with wrath in a synagogue as they heard these things. And rising up, they thrust him forth outside the city and led him as far as the brow of the hill on which their city was built so that they might throw him down headlong. They're going to murder him. When he went to the Jews, were they looking for a Messiah? No. They wanted to kill him. We said he was the Messiah. And then we turn also to Matthew 11. That's going to be page 1 or 11. Matthew 11, I think it's page 11 too. Matthew 11, verse 20, and we're just going to go over two things where when Yehoshua says, I'm the Messiah, the Jews weren't looking for Messiah, and they didn't want a Messiah, and they're going to kill him, they're going to reject him. Because in verse 22, what does it say right above it? The favored cities upbraided. Then began he to upbraid the cities in which had been done his noble mighty works, because they repented not. Alas for thee, Chorazin. Alas for thee, Bethsaida. Because if in Tyre and Sidon had been done the works of power which done of you of old in sackcloth and ashes had they been done. Moreover, I say unto you, for Tyre and Sidon more tolerable will it be in the day of judgment than for you. And unto thou, Capernaum, unto heaven shalt thou be lifted up, unto Hades shalt thou, or Sheol shalt thou be brought down. Because if Sodom had been done the works of power which had been done in thee, it would in that case have been remained unto this day. Moreover unto you, and he goes on. What did the Jews do? They rejected him. They didn't want a Messiah. And one of the reasons why they rejected him, well, let's see here, is because they had religion. And especially with death, if people were taught what Yahweh taught in the Word, that the only solution to this death is the Messiah, then everything's going to hang on the return of the king. But what do people teach today? Death isn't even a problem. So they're not. So people weren't even looking for Jesus Christ, and that's why they missed it. They rejected him. They were not looking for Christ to come as a hope. They already had their hope, and it was with their own religion. Sadducees believed one thing, Pharisees believed another thing, but they were not looking for the Messiah. How does man deal with the universal death problem? And you just look at it. You can talk to anybody. You can just ask them, so what do you think happens when you die? Well, I believe this. And almost everybody's got a conclusion. And one thing that's universal, they're almost all the same thing. There is no death. There's no death. Nobody believes in death. They just believe you change addresses. That's what they believe. And so if you believe that there is no death, are you looking for the solution of death? No. Hey, we're just passing along through and absent from the bodies, present with the Lord. If you abort babies, they go to be in heaven. Okay. So we're not looking for a problem. If you ask Christians today, what's the problem with death? It's kind of but if you read the scriptures and you read those scriptures, you say, is there a problem with death? They're going to say, absolutely. What's the solution? It's the Messiah. Looking for the Messiah. Today, there's no death. And what one interesting thing is, you say the All Hallows Eve, I think it was the ancient Druids, believed that the dead come up on this day, next week. Day of the Dead, the Aztecs, they had something very similar. What are the odds? Mm-hmm. You'll find all these people communing with the dead, and necromancies. Nobody wants to believe in the dead. They will believe that we're just changing, we're going someplace else. But what does Yahweh tell us? Because if we read these scriptures about dead, I think it's 52 times. Yahweh, you want to learn about death? You know what he calls it? Sleep. Or asleep. You know what he does not call it? Yes. Awake. Or enlightenment. Yeah. No, go to sleep. Well, that's depressing. I want to go someplace. And you say, no, it's asleep. And then if somebody were to come to us today, if we go to the scriptures, where would we give hope? What scriptures would you go to?
Thessalonians.
Very good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Two chapters going over the problem of death. You ever stand with good teachers? So good math teachers or something? They're going to give you problems. Give you enough problems, now you got to find a solution. What could this mean? Yeah, all this was supposed to be pointing to the second Adam coming. And they're supposed to be looking for him. And First Thessalonians, it says the dead in Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 15, it's going to say 54, death and enemy. Today, if you talk to people about death, they'll say, absent from the body is present with the Lord. And they'll say, oh, and you're going to go, is that what David was told when Absalom died?
No.
Absalom was wicked. How about when the baby died? David's baby died. Mm-hmm. He went to be a better place. Was that what David was taught?
No.
How about when Jacob lost Rachel, his wife? Well, she went to be a better place. Mm-mm. Now, what did the scripture say? She's turning back to dust. That's depressing. But what did the scripture say? The seed of the woman's going to come back and fix this. The hope is the Messiah, and through the Messiah is the resurrection. And what happens is through the resurrection, they go to sleep. Are they doing any work when they're asleep? They're dust. There's no thought, there's no praise, there's no work. They're not doing anything. They're not waiting on us in a better place. Going, what are you waiting on? Come on up. We're having all the fun right up here. No Satan up here. No temptations up here. No drugs, no alcohol. Come on up. Today people teach death is the only thing that's holding you from all your loved ones. And King David, they're in a better place. But almost every, the same thing's taught with every pagan religion also. The scripture says death know nothing. There's no remembrance of thee in death. 1 Corinthians 14, 13 starts talking about when Christ comes back. So today, when the body of Christ, when somebody dies prematurely, what do we tell them? We tell them they're going to turn to dust. Well, that stinks until Christ comes back. And then what's going to happen?
Get up.
I was talking to my son once, and it was through teaching that Yahweh was able to teach me more. He said, well, that makes sense. He goes, well, if they go to sleep, well, they're not watching me. They're not worried about me. They're not watching all these nightmares that are happening. And Cayman says that, so if somebody dies, they're not worried about me, right? I went, Good point. Can you imagine watching somebody, all the dumb things they're doing? Man, that's not heaven. It's not paradise. Watching your great-granddaughter get raped? Oh, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
What is this? What do people teach today? But in his case, he goes, so we turn back to dust. And he goes, and then how long are we dust? And I said, until Christ comes back. He goes, how is he going to make bodies out of dust, Dad? How are you going to make bodies out of dust? Chapter and verse, right?
From dust we came to dust.
Why don't we just go back to the beginning?
Yeah.
What were Adam and Eve made out of?
Dust.
And we could teach that even when we teach about death. You go, before we go into any of these things, what were Adam and Eve made of?
Dust.
Where were they before the dust?
Nothing.
It was just the dust. Okay, we got that. When we go back to the dust, we're asleep. There's no remembrance. We're not waiting. We're not sitting in a coffin waiting, going, oh my God, that's the longest time ever. No, we're asleep. And when you went to, I was thinking about this. I went to get my root wisdom teeth taken out. I thought I was a tough guy. I was like, yeah. They're like, you better have somebody come drive. I was like, I'll be fine. If I can't drive, I'll call a cab. I think the dentist, because I'm being cocky. I just didn't know anything about anesthesia. I think the dentist called my mom or somebody. Will you please get this guy a ride? I'll be fine. I'm tough. No, it'll wear off. All I know is I'm sitting there going to go, I want you to count backwards from 100. I said, I honestly think I was going to get to 75. I'd get to 75. 100, and that. The next thing I know, I'm being walked out like this by these two tiny girls. I thought I was being so tough. I'm walking, and I go sit in the car. I'm like, I don't remember that happened for the next 2 days, let alone what happened in that period. I'm glad I was asleep. There was I had no idea what these guys were doing. But then about 4 days later, I'm like, holy cow, what did they do to me? I think I owed that dentist money, or I broke up with his sister in high school or something. I was thinking, that's sleep. There's no remembrance. You go to sleep, you wake up 2,000 years later, you're awake. King David's he's dust. When Christ, or it'll be the resurrection, he'll come back up, he's gonna, holy moly, how long was I out, man? And that's what 1 Corinthians 14, 13, and 15. Now we'll turn to Acts chapter 17, page 138. And so when I say the problem of death, and today you ask people, you're going to go, there is no problem with death, really. We just don't like it. But you go to be a better place, and you go, really? So abortion's good. Why don't we just abort babies? And I remember sitting at a Christian place, and we're talking about death, and she was like, well, you can't say that. I go, well, hold on a second. If Adolf Hitler would have been aborted, it would have prevented genocide. And Adolf Hitler wouldn't go to what she was taught, he's in hell. He wouldn't have to go to hell either, and he'd be in paradise too. And if Stalin and Lenin would have been aborted, okay, right? All right. Then abortion's good. And they're sitting there going, you can't do this. Because you can't reconcile the doctrine of itching ears that was invented. Because what are you going to do with aborted babies? Infants that die. Where does it say? Where does it cover in here? And remember I said that. If I forget to bring that up, remind me. What happens to aborted babies then? That was her response. You're going to go, and we'll come back to that. You're going to say, but if you're saying they're going right to heaven, then abortion's good. No, abortion isn't good. Then you say some of these, there was a guy that I think they drank Kool-Aid and they all committed suicide at the same time. They went to go be in paradise. There's another guy that his children or their wife died, and he and his two kids, they're mourning, and they were taught the only thing that was between them and their mom was this beating heart. Mom's in a better place. She's in paradise. She's waiting for him. That's what they're taught. And they're also taught she wants you to live. She wants you to live great. And this dad, after a while, he goes, I don't want to live for her. I want to be with her. He kills himself and he kills his two kids. True story. What's wrong with that? They just... Right? You got a serious problem. Because they didn't go anywhere, according to scriptures. Where they went is into the dirt. The doctrines of demons did those things. Acts chapter 17, verse 16, page 138. And we look at this and we start talking to people about the resurrection, about dead people, and what are people going to look at us like? you're in a cult. Oh yeah, you're not a Christian. I don't know who you are. You need to go chapter and verse. Let's just take a look at this thing. But there was a guy that was pretty popular today, and people idolize him. But I don't think they would get along with him very well if they actually got to meet the Apostle Paul, because he's not going to teach them what they wanted. Because in page 138, chapter 17. The Apostle Paul, verse 16, I was kind of skimmed through it, but while he was in Athens, and then verse 17, if you look down, he began reasoning in the what?
Synagogue.
With the?
Jews.
What were the Jews supposed to be studying? There's no remembrance of thee in death. Dust you were, dust you'll be. Going back to dust, sleep, sleep. Awake, O sleeper. Remember, these bones, all these other things about sleep and death. So he's talking to Jews. Now there's unbelievers there also. And we go to verse 19. And so laying hold of him, they brought him up to the hills of Mars. It was neat, we were just there. Saying, can we get to know what this... What's that next say? Can we get to know this new teaching? What's he teaching them about? This new doctrine that nobody teaches. Because it's definitely not what the Jews are talking about at this time. And we'll skip on to verse 32. Melania, why don't you read that?
All right. Now when they heard of raising the dead, some indeed began to mock, while others said, we will hear thee concerning this even again. Thus Paul came forth out of their midst, but certain persons joining themselves unto him believed, among whom were
Dionysius, but there's just a couple. And they listened to him, but once he started talking about a resurrection of the dead, he's nuts. If they don't believe in a resurrection being the hope, who are they not looking to?
Yahushua.
The Messiah to come back. They don't need a Messiah to come back. And ask Christians today, are they waiting for the Messiah to really come back to go be with their family?
Mm-mm.
No. What's the point of the Messiah coming back? They really don't even know. Well, and some people have an idea. Well, it does say he's coming back, but what's the purpose? The purpose in the scriptures is that's when we're going to be reunited with our lost brothers and sisters. But were they looking for the Messiah? Absolutely not. If you read through here, because what else does he teach in the book of Acts? Jesus Christ died. Guess who doesn't believe Jesus Christ died today? Christians. He didn't die. Christians today don't believe in death. Oh, we believe in death. Okay, so you're saying he died. Well, his body died. Chapter and verse. So you're saying, did Jesus Christ die for our sins or did his body die for our sins? Well, they're going to say, well, his body died, but then his spirit went someplace else. Chapter and verse. Say, no, I thought the scripture says he is dead for 3 days and three nights. And the scriptures also say when you die, there's no remembrance, there's no praise. People don't believe Jesus Christ even died. So when Paul, all through the book of Acts, guess what's happening to him? He gets stoned. And Andrew Womack brought up once. He goes, I believe he was resurrected from the dead. Because they drug him out of the city.
Yeah.
Why? Because he was talking about a resurrection. Because if you create your own doctrine and resolution for death where you don't need a Messiah, and then somebody starts talking about a Messiah, we don't need this anymore. And the same thing today. But all through here, he's saying a couple of the resurrection of the dead, and Jesus Christ was the Messiah. That's one reason why he was rejected. But the other thing is he literally died. Nobody ever literally dies. He's changed, is what people taught. And that he's coming back. And why is he coming back? Well, because everybody that's dead is asleep in the grave. They didn't believe it. And so when we look at people, we say the dead are dead. They're asleep, and people look like we're crazy. They said, don't worry. They did the same thing to the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
And when they have itching ears, that's not what they want to believe. They want to believe that all dogs go to heaven. There's a movie on it. They want to believe angels are in the outfield. They want to believe that angels sing. They want to believe that when people die, they turn into angels. What else do they want to believe? They play harps. You're up here. Oh, you're playing baseball. You're golfing. And they start inventing whatever they want. But when you invent those doctrines, are you looking for the Messiah?
Yeah.
Let us be like the woman at the well. Because there's a lot of unanswered questions here. There's a lot of things we don't understand. Let me see here. And then we go right back to 1 Corinthians 14. And Toby Mack had a neat song. He's saying, break open the sky, turn off gravity so we can fly. I want to see your face. And it was a neat thing. Is somebody actually read the 14th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And here's Toby Mack singing. I loved it. Because that's our hope, the resurrection. Also 1 Corinthians 15. But when we talk to people, you go, people are dead. They turn back in the dirt, asleep. 50 scriptures, and that's just something I randomly found. They're asleep. There's no remembrance. They're there. They're turned back to dirt. They're not waiting on us. Because what happens is, if everybody's waiting on me, do I want to have a long life? No. Actually, I'll be rewarded. The sooner I get this thing over with, the sooner I go on vacation, right? But if the scriptures say everybody's asleep in dirt, and everything I do in this life is an offering back to Yahweh and to Christ, and that the longer I live, the more work I can do to bless them. And if I do die and go to sleep prematurely, I'm going to be sleeping possibly for 6,000 years, 4,000, 5,000 years. That's what the scriptures teach. Today, if you ask somebody, now, Tim, act like you're a theologian, and please act like you're a pastor, and you're not trying to be, you're just going to teach, if you were hired to teach what the modern day mainstream church teaches today. And we're going to have a little interview, okay? A non-confrontational. And so I'm an unbeliever. I'm a Native Indian, Native American. And I'm going to say, okay, what do you guys believe? When people die, do they know more or do they know less?
They would know everything because they're with their creator now.
So when people die, they know more, okay? Would you guys probably agree with that? Most people that teach today? Mm-hmm. Yeah, now they know everything. When you die, you know. Let me see here. Pastor Tim, when people die, does all of them die, or does just a part of them die?
Just their body. And then their spirit goes back up to their creator, or the bosom of Abraham.
So the spirit, does it ever die?
No, it's immortal.
It never dies.
Yeah, eternal.
Okay. And if you ask most people, most pastors, if you ask those questions, kind of how we did it, guess what they're going to say? Something very similar, just like that. And somebody else said something just like that. Turn to Genesis 3, verse 4 as we wrap it up. Because all of us have an innate problem with death. We have a problem. You ever seen that with somebody? Here's somebody, he's got a drinking problem. He's a friend of mine. And I want to cut the cord. I want to cut it off, but things keep popping up when I'm meditating to keep some sort of connection, to keep witnessing to him. He wants any solution he can get except for quit drinking. And every time he comes to me for help, it's all this and this and this and this. And I sit there and I'm like, you were in a fight? With your girlfriend. Over what? Cheesecake? What am I thinking in the back of my head?
Drinking.
Was there alcohol? Well, yeah. One thing about my friend, at least he's being honest.
Yeah.
And then the next time he called me, he got pulled over, this happened, this happened, this happened, and I go, were you drinking? Yeah. Does he know what the problem is?
Yeah.
Does he know what the solution is?
Mm-hmm.
Does he want it?
No.
Didn't want it. Adam and Eve, in chapter 3, here's the adversary, and we're going to find out what the adversary, I would assume the adversary does not want to think about what the scripture says about him, because if your head is crushed, and it says, at 3:15, it says, all the days of thy life is going to be humiliated, it should say forever and ever and ever, because today, in the same church, you say, is Satan going to be destroyed forever? Well, no, he's going to be thrown to hell forever. Everybody lives forever. Well, that's exactly what he'd want. But what does the scripture says? His mortality was affected with this too. Or I don't know if that's the right choice of words. But here, in 3 verse 4, Tim, would you please read?
Okay. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not die.
What did Pastor Tim tell me? When somebody dies, does everything die?
Yeah.
No. Just the flesh. But what lives? Never dies? The spirit. You're not going to die. What do people teach today? Does a Christian ever die? No, they just leave. What does Satan tell Eve? Go ahead.
For Elohim doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then shall your eyes be opened, and ye shall become like Elohim, knowing good and evil.
And what did the adversary teach her, or teach her? I guess that's even a better word. Would she know more or less when she dies?
More.
More. Same thing being taught today. And the same itching ear. And we go, you want to know what happens? I'll teach it. I don't like it. It's just like the one guy said, quit drinking. Anything with that one. But he's wrestling with it. But we look back and we go, what people teach today, it's the same thing. And one woman that we're teaching at a Christian festival, she goes, why does everybody teach there is no death? And I didn't know the answer. And this is why I teach. Go witness to people. As you start teaching and witnessing to people, Yahweh will meet you and He will give you revelation to answer these things. But if you're not moving, He can't teach you. So in this case, she said, why does every religion teach there is no death? And I was showing her these scriptures, and I didn't know necessarily the answer. And then I went, well, Adam and Eve didn't even want to believe in death. They're perfect human beings. These are Einsteins. The smartest people that have ever lived besides Christ. And did they, or at least Eve, Adam knew what he was doing. She didn't want to believe in it either, so why should we be any different? So when we come back to the power of the resurrection, and so the problem of death, how do you resolve it? Are you going to use the scriptures, or are you going to make up something that makes you comfortable and tell people what they want to hear? And you're going to get the truth sets us free, not traditions, right? The Apostle Paul was had horrible things happen because he was teaching the truth about death, resurrection. That sounds depressing. It is depressing until when? The return of the Messiah. The Messiah is coming back. And in this case, you'd say, but Yahweh knows what He is doing, even when we don't think He does. Because if, when I die, I turn to dirt, right? I go to sleep. And I don't wake up until when?
Yeah,
Messiah comes back. Am I going to have any recollection of that time?
No.
Okay. So when I go to sleep, is what Yahweh says, the next thing I know when I wake up, who am I going to be seeing?
Yahushua.
Okay. I don't want to die soon, but what does that do? It gives us power. It's the power of the resurrection. Because, think about this. If we think about this the way Yahweh taught, and that the real Hebrews, the one that did the word, they received power by the resurrection, because Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Azariah, Ananias, and Mishael, I believe what the real names are, what were they taught? They should have been taught. You're going to have to bow down to this golden image, I believe it was a golden image with him, and if you don't, you're going to be thrown into the fire. And they're going to go, if we obey, and they go to Nebuchadnezzar, and they go, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, if this is the case, throw us into the lake of fire. Not the lake of fire, but the burning furnace, we're not going to bow. And our God will deliver us, but if He doesn't deliver us, think about it, I'm going to put something in there. The next thing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are going to know, they're going to see the Messiah. And how did they go out?
Well.
It's a good death. How are you going to die? What is the last page of your thing? And you think about that. You're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Go, golly. But hey, guys, the writing's on the wall. The golden statue is just the beginning. They're going to kill us anyways. If it's not this way, it's not that way. How are we going to die? How are we going to go out at the resurrection? Are we going to cave? Are we going to become like Saul? Saul, who started so good as a king, and then he ended so poorly, or Solomon? Is that how we're going to end our life? Clinging to these things? Or is the last page of our life going to be going down like, oh. That's power of the resurrection. That's real power. And they didn't want to die either. These weren't Christians trying to commit suicide and go somewhere. They want to keep working for Yahweh, just like King David did. How about Daniel with the lion's den? Look at this thing. Golly, man. I'm 84 years old, I think. I think he's right around 80 years old. What's going to happen with the lion's den? Here's all these Jews. What's the writing on the wall? Well, golly, well, they're probably going to kill me anyway. I'm going to die. If I'm going to die, If that's how I'm going to go out, and that's the last way out, the lion grabs your neck, all right, but I'm going to go right to sleep, I'm going to wake up, see my Messiah, and he goes, you took that from me? Do you think he can compensate?
Yeah.
A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. I think about that, my dad brought that up with Uriah the Hittite. Uriah the Hittite was robbed of his life by King David. How can you compensate for that?
Can't.
His wife was stolen from him. And David married her, and Yahweh approved of it. That makes no sense to this brain, does it? But a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. What if King David has to be Uriah the Hittite's butler for 2,000 years? Would that make sense? Oh! Is that justice? Is that chesed? Is that righteousness? Absolutely. 1,000 years, you go, okay, the resurrection, and there's our reward. How are you going to go out? I like to think of Chris Peranto with 13 hours in Benghazi. You see about these warriors. They're going to go, they're here to kill us. Okay, how are we going to die? Are you going to die cowering, giving in to the Democratic Party or these Antichrists, or even worse than the Democratic Party, the people that are Christians that say, if you don't say what we say and do what we do, you're out. You're a cult. No. Because what really matters in this life is what he sees and says and what he does. And when we start thinking about that, that is the power of the resurrection, living each day. Now let me ask you this. Do any one of you know when you're going to die?
Okay. No.
No? Really? Okay. Do any one of you know when Christ is coming back?
No.
Well, there's Christians everywhere are predicting it. I think they fail to recognize. He says nobody knows the times and the seasons. Only Yahweh knows. It's a secret. Here they are searching scriptures to try to figure this thing out. And I can see, I saw this morning. I was seeing these going, well, this sign means this, and this sign means this, and this sign means this. This means Christ is coming back. And I'm thinking, he told us nobody's going to know except for the Father. Do you Christians have so much free time on your hand that you're going to study something he told you to ignore instead of prophesying, reading scriptures? How many chapters have you read besides this thing? You're trying to crack a code he told you not to crack. Right? You're going to go, here's this other thing. Well, when's he coming back? We don't know. When's the last day we have? We don't know. What's the last page of the chapter of Wendy, of her book? How are you going to live each day? You're going to go down in the blaze of glory and go, that is power of the resurrection. When's he coming back, man? We don't know. The same way with the woman at the well. When's the Messiah coming? We don't know. We don't know. But then we come back and we look at David Remy gave me a prophecy today. As I was asking people to pray so I could communicate Yahweh's teaching. And David, before he started prophesying, he said, Brother Aaron, when you read the Hall of Fame of Yahweh's Hall of Fame, you know, we have Mount Rushmore in the United States of the presidents. Now, I don't think all of them should. I think Teddy Roosevelt probably shouldn't be up there. But, you know, anyways. Here's the heroes of the United States, right? Yahweh has got his Mount Rushmore in Hebrews 11, right? Here's his heroes. And David was saying, he goes, Aaron, you know, it says that the Yahweh can't even mention all of them. There's not enough time. And David said, I believe that you and I have an opportunity to be in that Hall of Fame. By faith, Chuck Cunningham endured. By faith, Wendy Cunningham chose to believe. By faith, Tim Sodders left his home. By faith, Melania prophesied in front of everybody. And that's the choice that we have to possibly be in the Hall of Fame. And we come back, and we're going to wrap up the last part, John chapter 4, page 95. And I think this is something that all of us should memorize. What about aborted babies? What about infants? What about when somebody dies? What about some of these things? What are you going to tell somebody? Let us be like the Samaritan woman. You know, a tree by its fruit. And we're going to get to meet this woman someday. And as far as I know, she's the only one that says, besides, I remember Andrew told Peter we found the Messiah. So those guys were looking for the Messiah with John the Baptist. But here's something that wasn't even the disciples of John the Baptist looking for the disciple or a Messiah. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know Messiah cometh who is called Christ. So Donna, you're telling me aborted babies don't go straight to heaven? And you could come back and say, hey, if they go straight to heaven, did Jesus Christ need to die for them? So Christ isn't the only way to heaven? Got a problem here, right? He didn't need... So what do you say? Donna, where do the dead babies go?
Sleep.
They go to sleep. Turn to dirt. Well, Well, does that sound fair? How do we understand that? What would the woman at the fountain said? Whensoever, you guys see that part?
Mm-hmm.
He shall come. Who shall come?
Messiah.
The Messiah. When the Messiah comes, he will tell us everything. She was waiting for the Messiah to explain the things that the scriptures did not explain. She was waiting for the Messiah. And we tell them, we say, when Christ comes back, we'll get to figure out. We know that his Father is a just God. We're not sure. We don't know. But that where Yahweh is silent, don't start creating new doctrines. When the Messiah comes back, he will explain. And let that be our answer. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for Melania's birthday, her 13th birthday, and for this prophecy. You say, Father, you tell us to covet to prophesy or be zealous to prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39. Do not be fearful to open my book and to take scriptures and write them on the palms of your hand. Do not be fearful to write them all over your house. Do not be fearful to write them on cards and pieces of paper everywhere. Because I tell you to do that every single day. I tell you to feed on my word the same way a mother tells its baby to nurse and to eat and to sleep. I bathe you and I grow you up as infants, but I do want you to grow up and I want you to start believing and being what I've called you to be. It's time for you to get out of the rocking chairs. It's time for you to get out of the cradles. It's time for you to kick off the diapers and start growing up in the scriptures and start feeding on what I tell you instead of what this Satan and the adversary in this world tell you.
Hallelujah.